Was nutzt so Tees, wie wenn wir wieder ins Schloss Rettishaus? Around the year 74, 7, 75, around this time, he would have the habit that each Saturday, when we would all return from Sankirtan, we would first take a little, we would take prasadam so that we were no longer hungry. Then we would go to the evening aarti. We had timed it like this. And then, instead of a lecture, we would have a kirtan, yes, which continued up. No, it was not. This is not the right remembrance. I remember we had the evening aarti, and it was just the evening aarti. That means no longer than the normal aarti. And then we had a lecture, which usually was given by the temple president. And after the lecture, we went into the kirtan. It became accustomed to that the kirtan would not stop before 12 o'clock. And a little bit afterwards, I believe. We also didn't want to go through the whole night at that time because we wanted to be there for the morning lecture. And I remember, right, after the kirtan, it was almost like in the Christian tradition. The Christians have a tradition, it's in the Quakers, and it's in also some other charismatic Christian groups, that after a religious experience, someone would start to speak in a very, very enlivened and enthusiastic way. So this is also what we did. We would share our realizations. And I do remember that, because it was difficult for me to do book distribution at that time, because somehow it was difficult to communicate with these nervous Germans for me. I was distributing maybe on good days. My best day was 22 small yoga bibliotheques. We had such a collection of three handbooks of Srila Prabhupada. But I would distribute between, I believe, 15, 12, from between 7 and 15 books a day, I would do. I'm not very talented in this. I would always look forward to go for the Saturday kirtan. The kirtan gave me all the strength to go to the sometimes difficult and austere moments of Sankirtan at that time. And I'm very happy that this time comes back. I really hope we can, thank you, we can get some, maintain this taste and can develop it further. From the Holy Name, everything can come in the Holy Name, in spiritual life. And that is Prabhupada's trust, his faith, that the devotees, if they chant the Holy Name, all the unwanted things will go and they will come to the platform of eventually pure devotional service. Good. Today we will read from the 9th canto, chapter 24, text 61. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 In this age of Kali.
Janishyamananam, Janishyamananam,
of the conditioned souls who will take birth in the future.
Dukkha
shoka samo nudam. To minimize their unlimited unhappiness and lamentation. Which are caused by ignorance. Anugrahaya. Just to show mercy. Bhaktanam. To the devotees. Supunyam. Very pious transcendental activities. Vyatano. Expended. Yashaha. His glories of reputation. Translation. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna acted in such a way that simply by remembering him one will be free from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence.
I'm sorry, it sounds much too loud. Hörst du das auch mal? Das Flüstern ist sehr laut. Das stört einige.
Das ist die Übersetzung.
Ja, das ist zu laut. Ich höre, es passiert jetzt. Das ist gut. Mm-hmm.
We have to see that it is interesting, this verse. Srila Prabhupada is so enthusiastic that he puts now a long in other words in the translation. In other words, this is still the translation, it goes in the category of the translation. I think we should repeat it again so that we will understand the other words. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna acted in such a way that simply by remembering him one will be freed from all the limitations and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pains of material existence. It is a fact. I'm slowly waking up. It is a little loud. It is the fact. A purport. The Lord's activities of saving the devotees and killing the demons, paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam, take place side by side. Krishna actually appears for the deliverance of the sadhus or bhaktas. But by killing the demons, he shows the mercy also. For anyone killed by Krishna is liberated. Whether the Lord kills or gives protection, he is kind to both the demons and the devotees. Wonderful. He's kind to both these types of people and the devotees. Translation, once again, it's a short purport, but I have something very interesting from Prabhupada which I would read a little later. Kalo janishyamananam dukha shokatamonudam anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam vyatanotyasha. Translation. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who will take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna acted in such a way that simply by remembering him one will be free from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in the Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Is it now, maybe you cannot understand. Something could happen to me which I do not want. You can't go like this in your spiritual life, totally verklempt in relationship to Krishna. It just doesn't work. Otherwise this love can never develop. You must allow yourself to read about him. You must allow yourself to remember him. You must allow yourself to sit in the association of devotees and chant. To not do this means you're very cruel to yourself. The scriptures are saying you are a killer of the soul. In the 10th canto there is this verse which says, who would not be attracted to Krishna? It's only an animal killer and Pashupnath and Atmaha and a killer of the soul. Don't be cruel to yourself by just following the dictates of your mind and mundane lusts, which are foreign imports in the soul. They are not natural. They are unnatural. They are a Fremdeinfluss, a foreign influence on the soul. Don't allow foreign influences to rule you. Allow yourself to dive and to look at Krishna. The soul will be happy. Whenever you turn away from Krishna, turn towards the material side, the soul is not very, very happy with this. Only there's maybe some agitation in the mind and the senses if everything goes well in this parenthesis. It's not that there is the feeling of love and devotion in the heart, which is natural to the self. Don't be cruel to yourself. Hare Krishna. I think you will. You will have noticed. For a moment there was the preacher coming up and telling you something. So I will continue with the lecture but it is very late already. I think I will not give the lecture which I planned to give because it's, I took a lot of time already. But I want to see if there's the main point which I... the main point of what I wanted to say. I wanted really to give a long lecture about Sharanagati now, but the time does not allow it. So I will ask myself, what is it what you want to say in long words in 2 sentences? This is a good exercise for the mind. There are 2 ways in which you can practice surrendering to Krishna. One is when you are forced to surrender, when you have no other shelter, when you really have seen it, nothing works, I really have to try now. The other is when you understand there is no other shelter, let me try on my own. And when you give also, when you give up the other shelters. This is, by the way, I have no Shastric reference for this, where it's directly said, but if you read the Shastras, you can find that there are these 2 types. People who surrender to Krishna when they have absolutely no, when the pistol is on their head, so to say, yes, surrender. The other is when you give up all, when you give up the illusory shelters. So I want to speak of the second thing. The first thing, when you really have no shelter, it only happens in very extreme moments, when you're really down. Napoleon gave a wonderful instruction about this, the politician Napoleon, French Revolution, was it French
Revolution? Yes.
French Revolution. And it's very humorous but and very, very deep to hear about it. Napoleon was in Russia, I think you have. I think I know he went up to Russia with his army, but in Russia he was defeated ultimately. God, something is right in the history and the environment. I was so bad in history because it was all about learning numbers and I couldn't do it. I just could not do it, not one number I could remember. And but this much I remember, he went to Russia and he was defeated. So one day it happened that he was, due to some circumstances which I do not remember, he was without his guards in some part of a town in Russia, and the Kozakken means Cossacks, they are very, very good Russian warriors who have the zebel, the swords. A band of maybe of 20, 25 Cossacks saw him alone on the street. They thought, here is this arrogant Frenchman who has tried to usurp, as a military, conquer Russia. And they thought, wow, we will kill this person and we will torture him. It's Cossacks. Real warriors, and they ran and they go whoop, and they were and very happy, and they found Napoleon and they ran after Napoleon. He was at that time in disguise, and they saw they were after him, and they were going to not only kill him but torture him and to death. And he was running, and he was so afraid. And finally he thought he couldn't escape. He ran into a shop, a fur shop, ein Kirschner sagt man in Deutsch, a shop where you could buy a fur of a beer and so on and so forth. And he said, help, please help me, save my life, don't ask the question, just hide me. And the man, he was a good man, he understood, well, this is Napoleon, he had a certain face, you couldn't mistake him. This is Napoleon. And he said, yes, and he come and he put him in the corner and put some furs over him. So the Cossacks came out, where is he? I don't know, said the man, the shop owner. But he ran in here. I didn't see him. You are lying. We will torture you. Tell us, where is he? He's the killer of Russia. He wanted to kill all the Russians. Or worse, make them Frenchmen. you have to... what is wrong? He isn't here. He's not in here. He was a good man. He thought, this is a human being like me. He may have children like me, and they will cry like my children would cry. No matter what he is, I will protect him. And they said, we don't believe you. And they took the swords. They were Cossacks. And he put them through all the furs, which were hanging there to see if he was maybe hanging, hanging there, and the fur was here, which was hanging and covering his body. And they destroyed the whole shop. But for some reason or other, they did not think of, going to the corner where the Napoleon was, and he was there. Maria, it was wild, and then they went. The case said, "See, I told you," said the man. He must have run somewhere. Why don't you look somewhere? And they said, "I don't understand." Ran out and looked all over the town. Then Napoleon came out of the fur, and he was And the man asked him, are you Napoleon? You know better than me. you are the famous boy. I have one question, said the shopman. Please answer me this question. How did you feel? Oh, you're a famous man. I would like to know, how did you feel when they were making noise to find you and kill you? He was a very clever man. How did I feel? He thought. Then he had an idea. He was a very clever man. I can't tell you now. I will tell you in one day. Be here in one day. So, after the man was there waiting that the famous Napoleon will come, instead of him, 200 heavily armed French soldiers came. They took him and they brought him and they brought him to where Napoleon's camp was. I must say, Napoleon was defeated, but he was not killed in Russia. He had many soldiers around him. He had eventually to leave Russia. It was a camp and no one was attacking that camp any longer at that stage of the political thing. It was already clear that he would leave, you know, Russia. So in the camp, Napoleon waited. He was brutally brought before Napoleon. Napoleon looked in this Napoleon way. Today is the day of your execution. But I saved your life. You are a Russian, aren't you? You are a cruel man. I saved your life. Why do you want to take my life now? Napoleon said, kill him. Bring him away from here. And then they took this poor man on the wall. They blindfolded him. They all took their bayonets, like I do not know how many, 50 or so. He was going, but my children! You know, Maria. Then at this stage, Bolton said, this. And he went to this man whom he loved very much. Oh, loved is not the way. He was very grateful to the man. He personally, the Emperor of France, personally took away the blindfold. He had tears in his eyes. He said, please excuse me, but the way you feel now, felt a minute before, this is how I felt when I was in your shop. Napoleon is a clever man. These things like fear, absolute fear, or love, you cannot describe it. You have to feel it. You have to experience it. You can't describe it in words how someone feels who is ready to be killed. You can't describe how it feels to be in Krishna consciousness and to love Krishna. It is not possible. But it's very nice in opposition to the other feeling. But my main point here is let us not wait until we are standing on the wall and know what is fear of material existence and know what it feels to have no other shelter. Let us not wait until that. When the first devotees began to visit me after the operation in the hospital, and they came and they asked me, how are you? You know, I was really It was so painful, you can't imagine. I was 24 hours after under morphium. I couldn't, it was not possible to tolerate the pain in other ways. But still, it was so painful, and to be under morphium for a devotee is more hellish than hell. You have all these crazy impressions in the mind and so on. And still I said, when I was there, Prabhu, you asked me how I am. I am in bliss. Because I have seen that Krishna consciousness is everything. There is, to live a life like this without Krishna consciousness is very bad. And if you want to ask me another thing, don't become so excited, they said, you know, I have year line. If you, but don't be angry with me if I say this now. I wish you the same experience. And the devotee said, like, oh, what? No, listen to me. When you have no other choice and you surrender to Krishna, it's so nice. And later, when the devotees were gone, and I was there alone, I said, why do I always have to say what is on my mind? I'm such an impossible person, such an unlovable guy. Even when I'm almost dead, I'm causing pain to other people. But I meant it in a different way. I meant it really as a... But later I went to the same devotees. My dear devotees, I didn't say that you have... that I wish you pain. I wish you Krishna consciousness. This is what I wanted to say. Because a fool like me, at least I noticed, I'm such a fool, I need this on the head, bang, and then I'd surrender to Krishna. But my dear devotees, let us not wait until such a thing happens to us. Such a Napoleon case happens to us, or such a misery. Better is, by our intelligence we understand, who is Krishna, and we allow ourselves to become attracted to Krishna in a loving way, not in a fearful way, by listening to him, by chanting his holy name, and then surrender to him and become his instrument. This is so nice, this is so wonderful. So this is the last day of the festival. I want to conclude my lecture here. I wish to thank all of you that you have so kindly come and celebrated this festival together. In a way, I feel we should have other festivals like this as well. I remember, why don't you all come to Jamashtami? Then Jamashtami, the next day is Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, and we have often noticed that I feel we should all make it a festival which is becoming even more transcendentally ecstatic than his appearance day is also very good. You know what I want to say. Another point I want to say in parting, I felt very, very happy during this festival, and I hope you also did this. No, this was not the point. And then one can hear immediately when the intensity goes away from the voice, you know, the mind is somewhere else. I have said what I wanted to say. I want to see if you have any questions in your mind pertaining to this lecture. I think the subject matter of the lecture was simple. It was allow yourself to become attracted to Krishna. This was the subject matter. Allow, don't look away. Deepa.
Maharaj, in today's lecture you have said that to know what really love is and to know what really fear is, we have to experience it.
Yeah.
And also you have said that during a distressful situation in our lives, you explained that you went through an operation.
Yes.
It was very painful, and at that time
I surrendered to Krishna, yes.
You surrendered to Krishna.
Yes.
And may come any time again. It's still there. The fear is still there, but the love has not come.
Yeah.
And is the surrender, is this still a surrender?
Deepak asks about a devotee who has surrendered to Krishna out of, he has surrendered in the beginning in the sense of joining the devotees in performing devotional service. But he still is afraid that the misery comes again. Has he really surrendered? Yes?
Also, he's not experiencing the...
But he is not yet... Sorry, I forgot that. Yes, that's what I'm very... He has not experienced the real bliss of Krishna consciousness. See, there are different stages of surrender. In the beginning, we surrender our body, really. We say, here I am. My dear temple commander, my brother temple commander, tell me what to do. This is the first stage. Then it goes, you surrender your words, you speak like a devotee. Then finally you surrender your mind. Then is when you surrender in the highest degree. This is explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas verse, which is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. With one's body, such a devotee lives in the holy place. With the verse he says, O Lord, I am yours. In the mind, he knows, I belong to the Lord. In this way, one enjoys spiritual bliss. So this spiritual, this surrendering process of Krishna consciousness will happen when it comes from the mind, really. You see, also a prisoner of war can surrender with his body, like the Russians who, maybe I shouldn't tell it, but my father was very active in war, and therefore he is so humble now because he has seen. Anyways, I hope not. I will only say the good things about my father here. He told me there were many prisoners of war, Russians, who said, I surrender, I will work for the German Reich, for the German flag. Now, they had surrendered with their body and with their words, but the mind was saying, naturally, nothing else can be expected. If not, there would be something would be wrong with them. And so, obviously, they can't experience the bliss of being a German. Let's speak in the allegorical sense. I hope you understand this is entirely humorous. At least this much I must say. I think I have done before. I'm free of national pride. I think this much advancement I have made. So in the same way, if a devotee is with the body and with the surrenders his body and also his words, but if the heart is not yet surrendered, I think it's clear he cannot experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So surrender our mind, Deepak, is not an easy thing. It means ultimately to become free from this I am the body, aham, and mamneti thing, from the false ego, really, from the false understanding. It's something which will take time and which will go easy when you are becoming attracted to Krishna. Krishnamurti.
So this surrendering of the mind, we experience many times that the mind is peaceful and we can go through many...
So the object very easy. Until we are in... in Krishna consciousness, or until our heart is filled with bhakti, we must practice Krishna consciousness as an abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa means the yoga of practice. When Lord Krishna when Arjuna asked Krishna, how can I control this mind? It's like you had said, sometimes it works very nicely, but then something happens and it does not work nicely any longer, our remembrance of Krishna. Arjuna, he's aware of this also. I have this problem. I'm overcome by this enemy of the mind, which is becoming influenced by lust and so on. I can't control the mind. It is more raging than the storm. How to do this? And Krishna says, by abhyasa, vyasena vairagyena. You have to practice and you have to be a little detached from material life. So in the abhyasa yoga is a philosophical term. It means the yoga of practice. What it means is, when you see your consciousness not with Krishna, you must do something so that the consciousness goes again to Krishna. Read. Prabhupada used to say, I listen very often to this tape, but hope I can find it. It's also not in the... I gave a copy to the archives also, but it's a very... There are devotees who are extremely troubled, and they want to leave the movement, they want to leave Prabhupada and all of this, and they come now to Prabhupada and look for help. And Srila Prabhupada, it's interesting what he tells them. He knows they are not Krishna consciousness very much. He said, please go before the deities and just chant from morning till evening. Chant. And then the temple commander comes and says, you must do service. Tell them, Prabhupada said, I can chant. In other words, this is abhyasa yoga. You practice something which you don't do, that is fixing your mind on Krishna by the holy name. This is what Prabhupada said when the mind is it's interesting. This is a yoga principle. I do not know if some of you are also yoga enthusiastic people. If you would be on my party, I would most probably tell you 5 minutes yoga a day keeps physical suffering away. We stand on our heads, Rishikada and Ma. No, we have another practice. I have now today added again the headstand because it energizes you very much. The master of all this yoga practice, who gives the philosophical basis in Shastra, is Patanjali. Patanjali says, if you want to have a peaceful mind, you must do two things. Practice, means practice it with mantras, with Shastra, and detachment. It's the same thing which Krishna says. It's common yoga knowledge. It's universal. It's just like, there's only one way to breathe properly. I mean, I'm not sure if this is correct, but there's one deep yoga breathing, and anyone who knows anything about breathing knows how it works. So this, the verb of the mind is, all traditions know, you need to know practice and detachment. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he writes that this practice, really, abhyasa means constant cultivation of directing the consciousness to the Lord. That is practice. I should ask the Maharaji. Sorry, I'm so tired. I only looked in this direction. Here's Vrindadevi. Yeah.
Could you please elaborate on the second type of Sharanagati, which you mentioned shortly?
Yeah.
The first one was that we are forced by some situation in our life to surrender, and the second one is that we
give up other shelters.
Yes, give up other shelters. And I would like to know from you, which are these false shelters?
Yeah. Vrindadevi asked for an elaboration on the second point, is that of Sharanagati, when we on our own give up false shelters. And in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami preaches to Parikshit Maharaj and tells of so-called fallible soldiers. Usually a soldier gives you some shelter. You have your, imagine you would have your bodyguards around you when the baby. It's not necessary here in Germany, nice. but they are a type of shelter. So Sukadev Goswami mentions now as all the shelters, family members. Hare Krishna. This does not mean, it's very, very important, very, please listen very carefully. He mentioned the wife and the children. Now, you are a youngly married devotee, and you have a wonderful family of devotees, your parents are devotees, and so on. Doesn't mean, it means the false security in material family arrangements. I know this is not a modern point, but this is what Sukadeva Goswami says. But this means a material family. Ravindra Swarup told me once something which I think is very wise. Ravindra Swarup is a person who, due to his service, has to know all the things which go wrong in ISKCON. I admire him always, how he can keep his head on the shoulders looking. And he said, Sashinanda Swami, I think we have to first teach our devotees attachment, because only then they will learn to not be self-centered beings, but they can be more open. And then we can teach them attachment to Krishna. He said this, and I thought, why does he say this? Then I thought, yes, there's a truth in it. He says, we should take care of others, but we should know that these others are not a replacement of Krishna. Even the husband, one day he will die, Vrinda Devi. Krishna will never die. Even the sisters and brothers, one day they will be in Maya and not encourage us in Krishna consciousness. But then we must love them and help them. And so on. But they will also die and leave us. Krishna will never leave us. This is what it is known. But other shelters are, of course, see, when Sukadeva Goswami talks about this Grihamedi situation, that when he has his disciple Parikshit Maharaj in mind. Parikshit Maharaj was a married man, he had children, and he was now, Sukadeva Goswami felt the need to detach him from the family life so that he could die. He was in the dying, die without attachment to the material situation. And it is clear, the greatest attachment for a family man is his wife or children if it's a happy marriage. If it's a happy marriage. Parikshit Maharaj's marriage was a happy marriage. It was not a modern marriage. There's 50% of the people divorced. Also devotees, and so on. So he specifically mentioned this. I wanted to start my answer by giving you a quotation from the Shastra. It is in this specific situation when he died, but we can learn from it also. But please don't, please understand, I'm not trying to say family life is wrong. I hope you by now have rehabilitated myself in the eyes of the devotees. Means by now, after 3 years, I was before also one of those preachers who said family life in essence is wrong. It is, I was wrong. It is a good ashram, and it is the best ashram for most of devotees. That is clear. We must have affection and love, but we should also we should have a Krishna conscious household life, where Krishna is in the center. Other poor shelters are just, you take shelter in your own abilities and your name, a good name and good abilities, for instance, and forget to take shelter in Krishna. To take shelter in Krishna before you do something means to say, when you do an activity, Krishna, I want to do this to please you. Do it before. This is Bhakti Yoga. Karma Yoga is to do it afterwards. You have done something, and a part of it you give to Krishna. Bhakti Yoga is, before you say, Krishna, I want to do this for you only. It goes to you. I said something
all right, when the day is melting down. No, please, please. Sorry, now you can't write it down peacefully. So yeah. I think I answered the question. I must say, in the beginning, my answer was a little unbalanced philosophically. I immediately, I dropped this word. The question was, what are false shelters? And I said, family life. And without explaining anything. And I saw how your jaws were dropping down. Again, he had said that I know he has not changed 1 millimeter. and so on. I must say, I said it a little bit to make a dramatic point. It should be put into balance. Krishna conscious family life is something else. Because there is Krishna in there. Okay, I corrected this one. Another message is because I had only men up till now. No, it's clear. Let's go to you can find the quote in the preface of the Bhagavad Gita, where he said, I also don't know if it's the universe or the world, which one the body can liberate. Already the world is lost. The universe would be more. It's in the preface, as far as I remember. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, then I think we have any other questions are here and there.